Chase and Michelle, hour number two, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic hanging out on this Friday, keeping an eye on the weather as we go along, but also keeping an eye on the trades, NHL trade deadline, 2 o'clock Central Time today. To talk more about that, we say hello to Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, ESPN.com, covers the NHL for them. Greg, what a week it's been so far, and the day's just getting started. How are you?
It's been more than a week, man. Like, I was telling somebody the other day, like, the NHL trade deadline often gets referred to as Christmas morning. It's become Hanukkah. Like, it is a multi-day celebration of trades that has stretched all the way for at least 2.5 weeks. But it's funny. I mean, I'm curious to see whether this is going to become the new normal, where the NHL trade deadline looks more like the NBA's, where it takes a month rather than everybody waiting until 3 o'clock on a Friday. Or if this is just an anomaly, because I have never seen this much business get done this early in the NHL when it comes to the trade deadline.
Yeah, it's like you said, it has really been this week. And, you know, obviously here in Nashville, we've had absolutely nothing going on, nothing to talk about when it comes to the Predators. I guess I'll start with that. What was kind of your reaction when Sunday the news got out that David Poile was going to retire and Barry Trotz, the team's first head coach, was going to return to be the general manager?
Well, I mean, the first thing is that I think the Poile news was maybe overdue. You know, clearly there was never going to be a situation where they fired this guy. I think a lot of us thought that the ultimate fate for David Poile would have been to get bumped upstairs, right, and still be with the organization. I think a split like this is probably the best thing for all parties, and I'm intrigued by the Barry Trotz part of it. I mean, I am not somebody who automatically believes that in order to be a general manager in this league, you have to have been an assistant and done all these other things before you get the big job. I mean, he's universally considered to be one of the smartest, most considerate individuals that we have in this league. And at the end of the day, it's going to really come down to who he surrounds himself with in a power structure in Nashville, who his cap person is, who his amateur scouts are. I mean, it's more of a CEO job than anything else. And I think that Barry is somebody who could easily do really well in this job, despite not taking a traditional path to it.
The Predators were busy. It started last weekend when they traded Nino Niederreiter and then got an absolute haul for Tanner Jeannot, an undrafted free agent. They end up getting 6 assets for, which I'm still going like, where the hell did that come from? Mikael Granlund's been moved. Matthias Ekholm has been moved. What's kind of been your thoughts on the deals that David Poile has made? Because not only has he, you know, set up for the future, even right now they find themselves really in the same spot that they have been, 6 points out of the playoffs.
Yeah, he's certainly going out with a bang. It reminds me of like when you leave a job and like your last day, you just open up a tall boy at your desk because you don't care anymore. You're just going crazy. You're having a party. The Niederreiter bit of business I thought was really smart because, you know, one of the interesting things about this deadline, especially in the Western Conference, is the enthusiasm with which teams around the playoff bubble have raised the white flag. You know, the Predators have, the Blues have, the Flames probably should have but didn't. It's all in service of, one, knowing that they're not all that good, and two, knowing that if they aren't all that good, they're just going to be thrown into a meat grinder for the Avalanche in the first round. And so it's probably good to just, you know, get what you can. The Niederreiter trade to me spoke to that. That was a really smart bit of business. They acquired him because they thought they could contend. They're not contending, so flip him for an asset you can use either in the draft or later on in a trade. The Jeannot move, I'm fascinated by. Like you said, the haul they got for him is enormous. I don't think there's been a trade at this deadline that's had a bigger divide between public perception and what people inside the league are saying. I've talked to a number of GMs and player personnel people that love that trade for Tampa. And they love that trade for Tampa, one, because it speaks to their window to win and how it has to be right now, given the age of their core. And two, because I think the Lightning have built up a certain amount of cachet in making these kinds of trades at the deadline that lead them to play for the Stanley Cup. And, you know, it reminds me of the Brandon Hagel trade last year with Chicago, where they gave up a lot for a guy that was having a career year shooting 24%. Well, now he's, you know, playing in their top six and shooting 17%. And I think that they see Jeannot as being the guy from last season versus being the guy from this season from a production standpoint. And a lot of people inside the league really like that trade for Tampa. Not to say that they didn't also like the haul coming back to Nashville as well.
So I want to ask you this. Greg Wyshynski is with us from ESPN. I got into a bit of a debate with a Preds fan last night, a friend of mine, on Colton Sissons. I view Colton Sissons as a glue guy, a guy that, you know, he doesn't make a ton of money, but he's been here a long time. He's versatile. He can play up and down the lineup. And I think he is a key piece. He's something that maybe they could trade today. You know, it's a friendly contract, but I think he's a guy that, you know, is certainly loved in this locker room. How do you view him as somebody that's on the outside looking in?
I view him the same way you do. It's just a matter of whether or not it behooves you to try to see if somebody else needs that player more than you do at this point. You know, that's really the thing when it comes down to it with character guys that are sort of down your lineup is where are you in your contention arc? You know, where are you in your build, and does it do you better to find someone that can give you some assets for the future for somebody that might be more important to them now based on where they are in their contention arc? And then the other part of that too is, could you find somebody like that when you need to? That's really one of the questions teams ask themselves around this time of year is, like, if I give up this guy, how easily can I find him again? And sometimes the answer is it's going to be really hard, which is why you see teams hang on to players maybe more than they should, because they know how difficult it's going to be to find that special ingredient for a contending team. And then sometimes you say to yourself, well, I might be able to find someone with that versatility that can do all those little different things. And then you're willing to, you know, move somebody to help you in the future.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski. Okay, I know you have been covering this. Patrick Kane goes to the Rangers. Obviously a huge move. There's like five teams paying him, but whatever. You know, whatever you got to do to make it work. I think there's actually three. But is this going to work for the Rangers with all the moves that they have made? Obviously they got Tarasenko as well. They're third in the Metro right now. They would have to face either New Jersey or Carolina, or could you see them making all these moves and still being knocked out in the first round?
Sure. I mean, they're going to have to play Jersey, it looks like, in the first round, and we haven't even seen what the Devils look like yet with Timo Meier, which was their huge deadline acquisition onto a team that's, you know, pretty good to begin with. The only part of that matchup that the Devils really fail at right now, I think, is twofold. One is experience. The Rangers obviously have a bunch of guys that went through to the conference final last year. The Devils have a lot of guys that have never been in the playoffs before. And then two, I think obviously Shesterkin is an advantage for the Rangers in goal over Vanecek. The Kane trade is very interesting for two reasons. One is the fact that the Rangers basically said, we don't want him. And they were worried about his health and his hip. They made the Tarasenko trade. And then when it became apparent that Kane still wanted to be a Ranger, he ends up in New York. And what I've heard from multiple sources is that's because their owner, James Dolan, really wanted Patrick Kane on the Rangers. And I was at the game last night, and 15 minutes after the doors opened at MSG, they sold out of Patrick Kane jerseys. So
wow.
Maybe there's some math going on here that is in the Rangers' favor insofar as making this a financial decision. One phrase I have been texted and told by many, many people since the Kane trade for the Rangers, and they've all said the same thing: there's only one puck. It's the kind of thing you heard about, like, the Brooklyn Nets, right? There's only one basketball for all those guys. There's only one puck. And you got Tarasenko, Panarin, Kane. You got a bunch of guys on that team that want it. And it's going to be interesting to see how they distribute that talent throughout the lineup. I actually think Patrick Kane should not play with Panarin. I actually think Patrick Kane would be better playing on a third line with Filippito and maybe a Lafreniere or somebody like that, because I think the Rangers need better balance in their lineup. And right now I think they're front-loaded.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Talking to Greg Wyshynski. So you mentioned all the moves that have happened this week. Do you think there's going to be one more big domino today, or is it more just positioning and depth pieces that we're going to see today?
I think we'll see some familiar names move. I'd be really surprised if James Van Riemsdyk doesn't get traded from the Flyers. You know, the price on that right now seems like it's going to be a mid-round pick, second or third. So, he can really help a team that needs some scoring, especially around the net. John Klingberg's another familiar name, went to the Anaheim Ducks on a one-year contract. He's been terrible this season, but he moves the puck and he's a defenseman, so somebody's going to want him. As far as the blockbuster stuff goes, though, I think there's only one team that'll really determine whether we see some really big fireworks today, and that's the Vancouver Canucks. You know, they've been talking about a Brock Besser trade for a very long time. They have him out there. They've not been able to close a deal. JT Miller, it seems like there's been a lot of smoke there between themselves and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Who knows if that actually comes to fruition. He's a guy who grew up just outside of Pittsburgh. I think Vancouver's the team I'd look at right now, as if something big happens today, it's probably going to involve the Canucks sending one of their players out. But it remains to be seen. Obviously, the clock is ticking.
Well, we will see. Going to be fun. We're obviously watching it here in Nashville to see if David Poile has any more left up his sleeves. You never know. Do you think Saros could be in play, or would that, if that were to happen, it would be more offseason?
I think it would be more offseason, but I also wonder if that's really what should happen. I mean, you do have to do right by the guys that are still on your roster that dedicated themselves to being here, like Roman Josi and players like that. I mean, I understand that the best thing for this franchise might be to phase into a rebuild or something like that, but I don't know. I feel like that's one of those deals, like we just talked about before, where you might be making a problem for yourself that you don't need if you trade a goalie of his quality. But it'll be interesting because he won't be the only guy if he's on the block this offseason. Thatcher Demko from the Canucks, the aforementioned Canucks, I think will probably be in that trade market too. So could see a number of really big name goaltenders maybe be available. And I don't know if that necessarily affects Saros's value or not, but remains to be seen.
We will find out for sure. Greg, appreciate it as always. And we'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Thanks.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joining us here on the show, usually every Thursday at 9:45, but moved to today with everything going on with the trade deadline. We'll recap some of the things that have happened and maybe talk about what could happen with the Predators now that they got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder in the way that they played. We'll discuss that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.